Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, everybody. This is Richard Deitch, and welcome to the Sports Media Podcast. My producers are Patrick Antonetti and Sean Cherry. Today's show, I am psyched about it. It was such a blast to do this. Conrad Thompson, the host of six immensely popular wrestling podcasts, Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard, 83 Weeks with Eric Bischoff, What Happened When with Tony Schiavone, The Kurt Angle Show, The Arn Show with Arn Anderson, and of course, and the reason we are here, Grilling and JR with Jim Ross. Jim Ross, of course, is one of the iconic voices in the history of professional wrestling. He currently calls All Elite Wrestling AEW on TNT. Senior advisor also with that promotion, best-selling author. Also head to jrbbq.com if you want some great ketchup and mustard. This podcast is about grilling JR. And the larger point is, how do you create a successful podcast, as Conrad and Jim have done? 200,000 downloads these guys are getting. It's always in the top 100 for sports podcasts when it comes to the Apple charts. And so we go really deep on how this podcast started, how they grew it, and what are the things that you, as a non-wrestling podcast, can learn from Conrad and JR in terms of growing your own brand and growing your own content? I learned a ton. It was a totally fascinating conversation for me. And so let's head to it. Conrad Thompson and Jim Ross on the Sports Media Podcast. All right. As I said at the top, I'll give the promos again. And nobody does promos better than these two guys. Conrad Thompson is the host of six immensely popular wrestling podcasts. Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard, 83 Weeks with Eric Bischoff, What Happened When with Tony Schiavone, Grilling JR with Jim Ross, the subject of this podcast, The Kurt Angle Show, and The Arn Show. I remember interviewing podcasts way back when, before he became the podfather entrepreneur that he is now. It's great to see his success. Jim Ross is one of the most iconic voices in the history of professional wrestling. I don't really need to give his resume if you are any kind of fan of pro wrestling. He currently calls All Elite Wrestling AEW on TNT every Wednesday and is also a senior advisor with that promotion. He's also a best-selling author. Check out his books on Amazon. And if you enjoy barbecue sauce, chipotle ketchup, or main event mustard, head to jrsbbq.com. Conrad and Jim, thank you so much for joining me today on the Sports Media Podcast.
Glad to be with you, Richard. We appreciate the time, and hopefully we won't screw your show up too bad.
Just put me over as much as you can, Jim. I appreciate that.
Of course. You got a push coming. God damn it.
All right. I'm going to direct it to each of you guys, but as I told Conrad, and I think he passed this on to you, Jim, the reason I wanted to do this is I find it really interesting, like, how one goes about starting a podcast and then the growth and finding success in that podcast. And obviously you and Conrad had success before your partnership, but that's the focus on this. And it's sort of how Grilling JR became, you know, one of the top 100 most popular podcasts in the US in sports and recreation. So Conrad, let me start with you here. When did you first meet Jim? And if you could, take us up to the point where you conceptually discussed doing a podcast with him.
I think I first met Jim in 2013 at Cauliflower Alley reunion. And, we both sort of knew each other 1 degree separated from Ric Flair. And I guess maybe in 2016, we both happened to be at Wally Mania at WrestleMania weekend. And when Bruce and I were called up onto stage, I wound up seated next to Jim, and Jim leaned over and said, you know, one of these days, me and you are going to do a podcast to make some real money. And fast forward, when Bruce got re-signed by Vince and went back, I thought, well, I don't know what this means for something to wrestle, but if I have an extra day to do a podcast, I know who to call. So I reached out to JR by text, and to my surprise, he was receptive. We had a conversation and Westwood One was with it, and here we are.
So JR, I want you to pick up the story there. What were your impressions of Conrad when you first interacted with him? And then what was the impetus in your mind to sort of say, hey, I think if me and this guy do business together, we could do something great?
Well, I knew we both liked fried food. Conrad, I love being around entrepreneurs and people that are bold enough to try new things. And Conrad had a great idea with this network that I'm fully invested in. I really enjoy working with him. He does all the heavy lifting, quite frankly. And he's the booker. He's the boss. So, and I really appreciate that, quite frankly. So, but he just, you know, everything he did was very professional. Dave Silva doing the graphics, and always caught my eye, and it pissed me off sometimes because I didn't have that support mechanism. I didn't have that team, that infrastructure behind me at that point in time. I knew I enjoyed doing podcasting and talking to the fans, et cetera, and interviewing talent. And that's how the format worked at that time. So I really admired his entrepreneurial skills and the fact that he had a gift for marketing and promoting his brand. Now, I didn't know at the time when we first started talking about this, that he was going to basically cover every day ending in Y. But I applauded, it's a new venture, and I just thought it was, he just did a hell of a job and I liked him. Conrad and I have good chemistry. It's not fake. It's not phony. We don't rehearse. We just shoot the breeze and on topics that he selects. So I felt good about the relationship from the beginning. And since then, our show has grown exponentially. We're doing real well. I'm happy to say, I'm not bragging about it, but I kind of am bragging about it. We work our ass off to promote it, and the fans like what we do. And Conrad and I are both brutally honest. After every show drops on Thursdays, you see, within hours, some wrestling website using our, what we say, sound bites to get clicks. So we knew that we had something rolling there that interested the most discerning fan. So it's been a real good combination. And I'd like to think we're getting better. Before we recorded this today with you, Richard, we did this week's show. So we're staying busy all the time, and I love it. I love the interacting with Conrad, and he's become one of my best friends. And so that's really the secret to our relationship. There's no ego issues. Conrad knows I have a big ego. We just go along with it.
Conrad, I remember when you've been a guest on this podcast, I think 3 times, maybe it's 4, maybe it's 3. And I remember, you telling me, I always sort of keyed in my head and I think we were just talking about like Something to Wrestle With or the Tony podcast. And you sort of called out and said, I really think that the podcast with JR can ultimately turn into the biggest podcast.
Yeah.
And, you sort of called that shot a little bit. And so that gets into expectations. And I wonder, like from the beginning, what were your expectations for grilling JR, and why, at least before you even got rolling, did you think, hey, this, with all the success I've had with Bruce, like this really could be the big one?
Well, Bruce was a television character in the late 80s, but most of his quote unquote run was behind the scenes. So you had to be really on the inside of wrestling. I mean, you had to be a newsletter reader to know what Bruce's contributions to wrestling were behind the scenes. Whereas JR, man, he's Americana. I mean, he's the voice of wrestling. He's apple pie and hot dogs and ice cream and all that good stuff that we enjoy. If you enjoyed wrestling in your lifetime and you're hearing this, you probably grew up listening to Jim Ross. And I just thought that familiarity would be a hit. And I knew that advertisers would like it. And let's not forget the fact that because he was a public figure in the social media age, when I started with Bruce probably had 15,000 Twitter followers. JR probably had 1.5 million. So as far as getting the word out there, Jay already had that built in. He had credibility with the audience. He had a relationship with the audience. And the key to sales, as you know, is you've got to know, like, and trust the person. Well, they knew, liked, and trusted Jim Ross. So it would be a no brainer. They would try it. And I knew that he and I together, with me sort of teeing him up, I'll be Stockton, he'll be Malone, we'll score a lot of points with the audience. And I think we have.
Nice. Good NBA reference there, Conrad. JR, what were your expectations heading in, and how did those expectations ultimately turn out to what has obviously been a success? Like, did you have these kind of expectations, or has this superseded even what you might have imagined?
Well, you base a lot of things, Richard, on productivity. Are you making any money? It could be quite blunt about it. And I didn't really know what to expect, because I didn't have any, I knew Bruce's podcast, and rightfully so, was doing very well. Conrad was becoming better and better at leading the way, being the point guard, if you will. One of the larger point guards in the game, by the way. Get the big man to the low block.
Hey, Magic was a 6'9" point guard, Jim. It can be done.
Yeah, it can be done. But Conrad just kept getting better and better at his game. But I didn't know what those guys were making. It was strictly speculation. I believed in Conrad's concepts, and I believed that he was the guy to take me to another level of podcasting that I had previously not experienced. You know, I would never got into the podcast business if it hadn't been for Stone Cold, because he kept saying, "Man, you'll be great. You got to get in podcasting. So I kind of followed Austin's lead, did a solo show, but it was not nearly as much fun as this one. You know, Conrad and I don't have to worry about guests. We know that he's going to be on spot, on time. I know he knows I am as well, but there was just a chemistry there. So I didn't know what to expect, but I thought, my gut told me, if you play your cards right, JR, and you deliver the goods with Conrad, and there's no reason you shouldn't and you can't. Like you said, the first couple of times we met, we could realize at that point there's some chemistry there. And I've had that, been lucky enough in my career with my broadcasting partners. You can feel that right away. It's either there or it isn't. That's why Lawler and I were so successful all those years. We liked each other. We get along. We had some of the same interests, same age group, even though he's considerably older than I. No kidding. He's a little older. But I just felt like it was the right thing to do, and I trusted Conrad's judgment. And I'm glad that he trusted mine. So through our mutual efforts and his infrastructure with his staff, I get great notes on the topics we're going to discuss that Conrad has his guys prepare for us. And it gives us a roadmap. It's not a script, but it gives us a roadmap of where we're going to travel on a particular show. So I just believe that Conrad was going to deliver the goods, and he has. And, here in the last few months, our business has been phenomenal. And I'm overwhelmed. I never believed that we'd be this successful. But thanks to Conrad and his group, we are.
And it's just worth sort of before the point of point of order that Jim did do a podcast or solo podcast prior to linking up with Conrad. You could certainly just go on Google, go on your Google machine, as Conrad would say, and you'll find that there. Conrad, the first Grilling JR was published on May 2nd, 2019, and the topics were leaving WCW for WWE, and then you guys did the curtain call. I think one of the reasons why the podcast has been very successful is that the topics that you hit, I think, are really of interest for the listeners. But you know this from your other podcasts, like, you do got to get some momentum, and you do got to start, I feel like, with something great so that people stick around. So how did you go about determining what content areas to start with on Grilling JR?
I mean, I know it sounds funny, but a lot of guys who have podcasts in this space are people who've been in the business forever and ever. But I'm still just a fan. Like, I've never worked for a major wrestling promotion and have no aspirations of doing so, and still catch every show I can. So I just ask myself, hey, what do I want to hear about? And whenever we've launched a new show, I try to start with that same methodology. Let's get 4, 5, or 6 hits out there that I know everybody wants to hear, that everybody will talk about. And how do I know that everybody will? Because I do. So I just ask myself, what topics do I want to do? And I try to be mindful of anniversaries because, you know, as a guest driven format, it can be challenging sometimes to come up with, in our case, we'd have to come up with more than 52 new shows a year because we do bonus shows. So I'm looking at the short term and the long term. So if I know there is a major 25-year anniversary coming up 3 months from now, I'm not going to do it now. I'll hold that in my back pocket. But when you first start a show, you don't really care about that as much because you just need some traction. And my most recent launch was with Kurt Angle, and we covered a lot of WrestleMania topics right up front. And we did that in February instead of in March or April, where we might normally. That's quote unquote WrestleMania season, because I knew that's what people were going to be talking about in the coming weeks. What are they doing for WrestleMania? Why not throw that in the mix? So I just ask myself, what do I want to hear as a fan? And then we go with that.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua, and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk. No. You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter, and he said, oh, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film, and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm going to stick with you, Connor, and then I'll get Jim to sort of add on to this. Can you take my listeners through your preparation for the show with JR and go as specific as you can in terms of, you know, how do you go about doing it? How many pages of notes? Do you then send the notes to Jim? Do you have a pre-show process? What's all that like prior to hitting the record button?
The most challenging piece is scheduling them all because I don't just have the show with JR. I've got five others. And so I've going to have to map out a whole year. So as I'm talking to you now, I've got a Google sheet pulled up. It's a shared document with all the hosts and the rest of my staff. And there's little tabs at the bottom for all six shows. And we just have different columns. When will it air? What's the topic? Who's doing the notes? Do we have them yet? Do we have the cover art? And why are we covering it? Like, why is this topical? And so once we map out the whole schedule for the entire year, then it's just a function of checking those boxes. I've got two folks who work with me on our research team. Chris and Derek do a great job organizing the notes. And that too is a Google sheet that's shared with everyone, with the idea being they're going to take a look at what happened leading into this pay-per-view, if it's a show event or if it's a career profile, you know, what their whole life story is. And so they would look at old interviews, what's called in the wrestling community, a shoot interview, or any books that were written about the subject, or certainly autobiographies. But there's usually some sort of DVD or video file out there that's a companion piece about their life story. You compile all of that, and then you go with two insider trade journals known as the Wrestling Observer and the Pro Wrestling Torch, and you essentially just create a data dump. It's a copy-paste job that maybe starts at 80 pages and gets whittled down to 12 to 19 pages. And then we start to develop a format of not just here's all the information, but how do we craft it in a way where it becomes notes for a real interview? We don't just want to read match results. We need to come to a point and then throw to JR, giving that old basketball analogy again. I've got to be Stockton. I've got to get the ball to Malone here. How can I position JR best to tell a story about this major moment or incident or circumstance that happened in their life story or that particular event? And then Dave Silva will know what the topic is, and he'll try to take a look and see what his creative juices can come up with. And he'll come up with a funny graphic for us to use and promote on social. We have individual social channels for every show. So we'll mine listeners for questions. So at the end of our regular show, we have a chance for our listeners to ask questions, and that boosts our engagement there, of course, obviously as well. And then we'll try to schedule a time to record, and we'll usually do a Zoom. And we have a producer record it, and he'll slide in graphics and photos that are relative to what we're talking about. And we'll offer an ad-free version of our show with video and some graphic support and put that behind a paywall. And they'll get that show early and ad-free on a giant Patreon that we've called adfreeshows.com, which is really just a vanity URL that redirects traffic to a Patreon. But then it actually drops on all the major podcast platforms a few or maybe several days later, but that will be with ads inserted. And then we wait 30 days, get paid, and rinse, lather, repeat.
That's there's a lot there that people who listen to this podcast can use. And now I'm just depressed as hell, given how little I actually do compared to you, Conrad. Jim, so here's the thing that's really fascinating to me, Jim. You lived all this stuff. Like, Conrad's asking you stuff about things that you were in the arena, you were dealing with talent, but, like, here's the reality for any of us. I don't remember what I was doing on October 4th, 1996. So, like, I have no idea on earth how you could recall stuff from a certain date. So Conrad does give you the notes. So I'm really curious, Jim, like, will you pre-watch anything just to get into the headspace of where you were? How does it work for you? Because even with all this, even with all this research, it's not easy to remember, you know, one singular show that you did 25 years ago, given the tens of thousands of shows that you've worked on.
Yeah, you have to use muscle memory a lot, quite frankly, but I'll go back and watch, I'll skim through. If we're going to talk about a pay-per-view, like we got, we're going to talk about, I think WrestleMania 2000 coming up, which should be a phenomenal show because it was an amazing, event, WrestleMania 20. With so much significance for a lot of guys that I brought aboard and I signed. And those are great memories for me, you know, but we influence, show you the influence that Conrad's group here has. We did a show several months ago about the plane ride from hell. And the guys that produced and created the Dark Side of the Ring on Vice thought it was amazing. They just loved that show. And that articulated, as Hank Stram would say, right on down the field, boys, 22 power trap. Yesterday I spent 4 hours with the Dark Side of the Ring guys here in my home in Florida, and talked about the plane ride from hell. I told them in the beginning, I said, I don't like this topic. I don't like remembering this bullshit. It was a bad day at the office. It was one of the darker days in my reign reign's not a good word, but my tenure as a head of talent relations. But it's going to make a hell of a special for the Dark Side of the Ring that was spawned by what they heard Conrad and I talking about on this podcast. So, you know, I go back and look at, I get enough information. I get enough memory, and I'm not so old yet that I can't remember a lot of crazy things. The recording we did earlier today, I remembered a couple of things regarding that period of time that I went back and brought forward because it just popped in my mind. Oh yeah, I remember that. So it's really fun. You know, it's really fun. But the notes are imperative. You know, I think the first time I got notes in Conrad, I printed them on my, I was in Oklahoma. I got a studio in Oklahoma as well. And thanks to Conrad. And I printed the notes and I thought the goddamn fax machine was never going to stop. What are we doing here? How long is this? This is going to be like a 5-hour podcast. What are we doing? But it was all beautiful information. So it's all thorough. It's all logical. It helps jar my memory. And then I can supplement that jarring of memory by going back and looking at video, which really kind of puts a cherry on the sundae and lets me be able to recall some information that apparently has been a hit with the audience.
Conrad, I wonder from your perspective, how maybe you instinctively know this, but how much did you think this could be successful because Jim had no ties to WWE when you guys started? Obviously, since Jim now works for AEW, you guys sometimes at the top of the show will certainly mention what's going on with AEW, but this is not an AEW recap show at all. And that obviously became tricky for you on the Bruce podcast and the Eric podcast, because during this podcast run, both those guys did indeed go back to WWE and were paid by them. And even though I understand that you guys are talking about things in the past, I think it's just human nature to pull a little bit of punches if you're being paid at that time by the organization you're talking about. So from your perspective, I would think that because Jim had no longer formal ties to WWE, this would be another reason, and WCW for that matter, like, this would be another reason why this podcast would be successful.
I totally agree. I mean, what people want is authenticity. What people want is, you know, your unfiltered truth. And that doesn't mean we want to be disrespectful or we want to discredit anyone. but we do want to be honest. And I think that is super relatable, and it's what people are enamored with, you know, what really happened, not what they want us to think happened, but what really happened. And Jim was not cautious about sharing his version of events. And that has certainly been a big piece of our success.
I think what we're finding out here, Richard, is the fact that our fan base, our listener base, they have so much more background information than any other generation has ever had. And so you just can't phone crap in. You gotta be authentic. As Conrad said, we're always honest. If I don't know something, I don't remember something, I'll tell him. But I don't mind, not having every answer or every, knowledge of everything that happened 20 years ago or whatever it may be. But you'd be surprised, because I lived it and I was there. I was very emotionally invested in what I was doing for a living, that a lot of those memories just need to be kind of jarred and crack that door open where we can get back into that point in time. But the fans, I think they don't want just BS anymore. They want honesty and they want authenticity. And I'm one of the guys, because of my journey, been lucky to have experienced a lot of that, whether it be in WCW or Mid-South Wrestling or Jim Crockett Promotions or Vince, working for Vince, or whatever it may be, pardon me. And now working for Tony Khan, it's just, there's a lot of experiences there, and we try to be objective. Hey, look, every idea can't be great. Every booking concept is not going to be the big hit of the day, but you got to be able to point that out and what was good about it and what probably was the downfall of it or whatever it may be. And it's simply my opinion. I like to think it's an educated opinion, and I try to be objective and not insult the audience, but they demand, they demand the involvement. They demand the detail that we provide in our show. Pardon me. And, we talk about, hell, we'll throw in some football and during football season, more often than not. Conrad's a big Alabama guy, and I'm a big Oklahoma guy. And those are two of the most prominent college football programs in existence, and at least in our opinion. And so we talk about that. We talk some little bit of a news of the day, things of that nature. So, it's kind of a variety show in a lot of ways. We try to have fun. We laugh. I tell lame jokes and things of that nature. But the bottom line is that Conrad's got the ball and I follow him. And I love being not the lead guy. Even though that's been my role on TV, the play-by-play guy is usually the lead guy. And so we figured out something here, and we figured out what our audience likes, and we're going to do a better job of continuing to provide that as we move forward.
Yeah, Conrad, congrats on the 17 Alabama wide receivers who should go in the first round of the NFL draft this year.
Thank you very much.
So, Jim, I want to just stick with you on one thing. One of the things in listening to the podcast that really stood out with me was your honesty when it came to some of the things where Vince really was just a total dick to you. I'm just going to be blunt. And the other one that I remember was your honesty about the Ultimate Warrior. And even though the Ultimate Warrior has passed, you were really honest with the audience in terms of, like, this was not a very good guy to work with. And so, I knew when I had you on this week, I just wanted to ask, like, did you, when you're in the middle of taping this stuff, like, do you hesitate for a second before you go to a certain place? Or are you like, hey, at this point in my life, I'm just going to deal my truths. And if people get pissed off at me saying something about these people, they got to live with it.
Pretty much that, Richard. I don't have a filter. And sometimes that can be a blessing and it can be a curse. But you're always going to get honesty. And I knew that for long time Ultimate Warrior fans, my little diatribes and my descriptions of my experiences working with Jim Helwig were not very positive. Just being honest about it. He was difficult to work with. And I think that was, he was at the right place at the right time. And the creative, I guess at WrestleMania 6, I think it was, with him and Hogan. Was that 6? I think it was.
That's right. Yeah.
And, I was there when all this stuff went down. Not that one, not 6, but he was, Warrior was the right place, right time. But, you know, he was probably one of the more unpopular guys in the entire locker room. And, you know, back in that era, the information flow that we're discussing right now did not exist. So being able to share those experiences, I knew would alienate me from some of the Warrior fans. But, you know, look, you know, as old Jack Nicholson said one time, you know, you can't handle the truth, then don't listen. Wait till next week. Maybe we'll have a topic you like better. But we haven't had too many complaints that I'm aware of, Conrad, on saying things, because we don't go out of our way to gut and quarter the people, but we do tell the truth. And again, if you can't handle the truth, talking about one of your favorites, then maybe we're not the show for you. Right on. You hate to say that, but we're going to be honest and we're going to be controversial. And we're going to stay that way. And there's no rehearsing. Okay, now, JR, you say this, and I'll bring this up, and we'll segue to that. You know, Conrad and I have yet to have a production meeting. Okay, let's have a huddle before we go on the air. Now, we'll shoot the breeze before we start recording, but it's not strategy. It's just catching up with the news of the day in our lives. I'm concerned about Conrad and his life. I'm interested. And, you know, I've known his wife since she was young. And, of course, her father is one of my oldest friends. Crazy. He's middle-aged and crazy. We all know that, but we say that in a lovable way. You know, Nate's the Nate. So, I've said some things. I'm sure that, get back to Rick, you know, he would call my hand on it, but normally he understands what we're doing. And we have a way at the end of the show to make everybody somewhat whole. You don't want to leave a show with a huge negative impact. Are there no redeeming social qualities in this individual? Well, of course there are. It may take a little longer to find them. It may take a little bit of effort to create that dialogue, but it's always there. Nobody's totally bad, but Warrior was the closest thing to being totally bad that I can recall.
Just so the audience knows, Conrad is married to... Did your wife pronounce her name Megan Conrad or Megan?
That's right. Look at
Megan,
you.
Nailed right? Megan. Yeah, I thought yeah. So, yeah. Most people, I'm sure, would just go Megan. So that's Megan Flair, who is the daughter of Ric Flair. And I think anybody who listens to this podcast probably knows who Ric Flair is. All right. So let's finish up with some business stuff, Conrad. I know some of this is proprietary, so... You know, if there's a place you don't want to go, I understand. I'll ask you sort of some large scale questions because I think it gives people an interesting look at this podcast. Roughly, how many downloads do you guys average per episode?
200,000-ish.
And in terms of growth, can you give us a sense of like what that growth is, let's say like on a year over year or from 6 months ago?
I think Jim's highest rated show in 2018 did around 54,000.
Wow.
And we debuted with 110. So we doubled it right out of the gate and we've grown it steadily ever since. But if I'm honest with you, the real growth is not download wise, it's financially. We found a way to effectively monetize the podcast through, relationships with advertisers and agencies, but also, you know, different little ancillary arms. You know, we don't just have one way we make money on the podcast. There's five or six, and that's where the real growth has affected our show.
So in terms of like growth, is that like, do you consider ad-free shows like sort of an ancillary way that this podcast has grown? I mean, at a certain point you can do events when COVID is over,
yes,
but you can't, let's say you can't do that right now, obviously.
Yeah. So we did live shows. I mean, last year, this time, Jim and I were all over Europe doing four or five shows, I think.
That's right. Yep.
Anyway, so we usually did at least one live show a month, sometimes two, and then we did that one European tour. We would also do merch. We sell hats and t-shirts and mugs and koozies and everything in between. That's all print on demand stuff. We use Shopify as a back end there. And we also sell ads directly instead of, you know, cause here's the thing. If you're advertising with Westwood One, you probably have an existing relationship with an ad agency, but how does a mom and pop or a local business owner or a startup website, if they're not already established with a national agency based out of, you know, Chicago or LA or New York, how do they advertise with us? Well, they can buy directly from us from a little landing page we built called Advertise with Conrad. So we've got a guy who's making direct sales for us. We've also got monetized YouTube channels where we're posting clips of our shows. We're selling ads through Westwood One. We're selling ads direct. We're doing live events. We're doing conventions. And our primary focus really is JR has his own website and I have mine. JR sells, as you mentioned at the top of the show, a lot of different sauces and goods that are of a condiment fashion, but he also sells autographed books because he has not one, but two bestsellers now. And I have the mortgage company. So we probably do as well or better from our promoting our own separate business than we do through the actual podcast. So there's, again, a half a dozen different ways that we found to monetize the shows.
So Jim, I wanted to ask you this. Can you, you're not going to give me the money, obviously, but can you just give me a sense of how your other businesses have grown since your partnership with Conrad started?
Oh, significantly. Yeah. A lot of people are finding my website, as Conrad so kindly mentioned, JRsBBQ.com, where we sell my family's line of condiments that my mother and my late wife Jan started and created. So I kind of keep that rolling in their honor. But all of a sudden, it became more than a vanity project. It became a source of income. You know, my site last year did about between $400,000 and $500,000.
Wow. Hey, nice.
Yeah. So it just doing well. And I'm lucky. I'm very blessed. And I have a lot of gratitude for the fans that support that. But we sell a good product. If we sell, you know, crappy sauce or whatever, ketchup, mustard, seasoning, whatever it may be, if it was not good, they'd buy it once and they'd move on. You know, so we supported JR, but I just didn't like the sauce. We don't ever get that. It's all good stuff. But it's grown tremendously. So, because it's just grassroots marketing, and Conrad has a knack for that. And I think that Conrad being, still being the fan that he is, absolutely, priceless for us, because he thinks like a fan. He thinks like our audience. You know, we've done shows where I've got a Conrad said, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, whatever. And I may, in my mind's eye, without peeing on his campfire, think, I don't know how that's going to be. You know, we did a show here a while back on Bob Holly, and I've known Bob forever, but I never looked at him as a primary topic for a podcast, even though it did really, really well, because the topic had not been overdone. So he's got a good feel for that, and he still thinks like a fan. And as long as he can continue to do that, and I can continue to carry my share of the water on the other side, we're going to continue to grow and continue to monetize this brand. If I was not working in AEW, and Tony Khan has been very, very wonderful. The guy, the family that owns the Jaguars, and
yep.
They're soon going to own, what's that kid's name from Clemson?
Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence.
Oh yeah. I should remember that. I'm kidding. You know, they're great people to work for, but if I wasn't doing that, I'd have no trouble making a really good living doing nothing but the podcast.
That's great.
So I'm lucky there, Richard, quite frankly, to have Conrad, to be on Conrad's team, quite frankly.
Conrad, again, you know, I'm not asking you for the numbers here, but sort of from where the philosophy of it, so others can learn from it. In many podcast situations, like including mine, you have an agreement with a podcast company and there's like a revenue share, basically, like, you know, somebody ads are sold and then you as the talent gets a percentage of that sale, and the company, a lot of times in the podcast company's position, you know, does the distribution and the sale, and then they keep a certain revenue, and that's the split. Revenues are split, whatever the percentage is. For you and the people who are associated with your show, the Bruces and the Erics and the JRs, is that a similar arrangement, or have you come up with something that's unique and different in the podcasting space?
No, we have that arrangement. And we've been able to, based on the strength of some shows, negotiate a greater split. And we've also been able to negotiate some radio support. Our sort of back end, quote unquote, is Westwood One, who happened to be one of the largest radio companies in the United States. So they have all these terrestrial radio affiliates. So part of our deal is we get a nice portion of the ad sales, but they also run some promos in those markets. So we'll occasionally at certain times of the year, start seeing text messages and tweets and things like that online. Hey, I just heard your commercial promoting, Grillin' JR in Sheboygan or wherever. And they assume that we have bought an ad schedule in that market to promote our show to that market, but that's not actually true. That's trade from our support, our partner, Westwood One. And they have, as you know, stations all over the country.
And they use unsold inventory. So it's a really a combined team effort.
Yes.
They use unsold inventory and they find a spot for us. It's like doing a PSA or something, public service announcement. So they invest in promoting our product because they have a vested interest in the more money they create, the more money they keep.
Here's a final two for me, guys. And I appreciate your time. This has really been interesting to me. Conrad, the one thing that you've done is I think you were able to identify people who really can bring interesting stories and memories and opinion over an extended period of time. These podcasts now are multiple year podcasts. None of these are just basically, short series podcasts. We're now talking, for the Bruise podcast, a number of years.
Our fifth year.
Yeah, fifth year. So, I was thinking like when I was going to talk to you today, is there anybody out there like who could be your next person? And like, while I think like on like big name alone, like a Hulk Hogan podcast or a Sting podcast probably would be a big hit to start. I don't know how it would be a year after the fact, but just brand name alone, those guys would be huge if they were willing to go to, honest and interesting places. But like, you don't necessarily have to like mention the person, but are there still people out there you believe who, if you decided to invest more time in, you could create another successful offshoot of this podcasting network that you have?
Real quick, I want to say I did what you talked about with the whole Hogan Sting thing. I did it with the Ric Flair show.
Right.
And I tried it twice and it just didn't have legs for a variety of reasons, but that's not the direction I want to go. And yes, I do have two names that I would love to do podcasts with. I don't know that either are technically able right now, but as their circumstance changes, they will be getting calls from a 256 phone number. and that's Paul Heyman and Jeff Jarrett.
That'd be great.
And yeah. A lot of wrestling fans get really excited about the idea of Paul Heyman. And I've had a lot of people sort of groan when I mentioned Jeff Jarrett, but when you really take a look at what his story has been,
Think of his dad. It's an amazing, that could never ending stuff there. It's great.
Multi-generation guy growing up in the territories, not just in Memphis, but also the whole Dallas thing. And then going to work for Vince, walking out, almost becoming a horseman for WCW, coming back, cutting a promo on the biggest star in the business and saying his biggest piece of merch that the company ever sold is blasphemous. And then allegedly holding the company up for money and losing the belt to a lady and
going. He did hold up the belt company for money.
Well, there's just so much. I mean, he was fired on national TV and then thought, okay, there's no place for me in the wrestling business anymore. I'll start my own. And very quickly realizes, hey, I've been hoodwinked and I had somebody in my team misrepresent how many sales we really had. And I'm about to be bankrupt. And the guy who he looks to bail him out just happens to be at the center of an Enron type scandal, Richard Scrushy at HealthSouth. And then the PR person he hires to help bail him out of this mess happens to have parents who are billionaires. And then his wife passes away and there's a falling out with his dad. And he winds up falling in love with an Olympic gold medalist wife while they're still married. This is an unreal story, unlike anybody else. And if it was a movie, people would say, oh, that's fake. That could never happen, but it did. So my two names would be Paul Heyman and Jeff Jarrett. And sooner or later, they'll both be fired again. And that will represent an opportunity for us.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah. I mean, Heyman's been on this podcast a number of times. That would be phenomenal. And I'm with you. I think Jeff Jarrett's story is fascinating. Just given how he grew up in the business. All right. This is the final question. And Jim, I'll start with you. When you think about this podcast and whatever the next evolution is or how long you want to go, do you anticipate you'll be, I mean, in your mind, does this have a shelf life or do you think, the prospect is as long as you want to go if your health is good and your interest remains? I'm interested how you see what's sort of next for this podcast.
Well, no end in sight, Richard. We're having fun and we're making money. Our audience is growing every week. It seems like we got another number, another record. This is fun for me, and it lets me create content. And I used to be in that world all the time. I'm not anymore. And that's not a complaint, but I think the sky's the limit. We're still going to grow. We're going to continue to produce stimulating conversation and talk things that are topical. You know, Conrad realized, as he said earlier, on the calendar a lot, anniversaries, birthdays, you know, there's a reason for every show. There's a reason for every show. We did a show about Rick Steiner recently, and I thoroughly enjoyed it because it brought back great memories, and he's got a real cool journey. Why aren't the Steiners in the Hall of Fame, et cetera, et cetera. There's the endless, if we're running out of topics, then I would be concerned, but we haven't even scratched the surface. There's always a big story yet to be told, and we're going to be the guys that are going to tell it in our own style. And look, Conrad and I don't always agree, but you know, unlike the internet, we don't curse each other out because we have a difference of opinion. You know, we do get along, and we sometimes only on the air will have a nice difference of opinion, but it's done respectfully and how I think conversations should be taking place. I just think that, the sky's the limit. I'm being redundant, but golly, it's just, we just scratched the surface. And so, as long as we can keep our team together and Conrad's infrastructure continues to be very productive, and they are, I'm going to do a thing on Thursday night. I don't know when this is going to air, Richard, but on Thursday night, I'm doing a thing with Conrad's Ad-Free Network where we go on and do a Zoom call with, members of a certain level, on Zoom. And there'll be a whole bank of folks on the screen asking me questions.
That's smart. Yep.
And so I think the thing that is, when Conrad said to me, several weeks ago that we're going to add video. Well, you know, I have consternation about that because now I got to learn to do another damn, function on a computer. Not my deal, but, his people helped me through it. And like you did, you know, I got a link and I learned, I know how to access you guys. So it's just that the video, I think, helped us a lot because people can see us converse. We're both on camera, which is, can be daunting for two large, Southern men. We could do a whole goddamn podcast just about barbecue or football or whatever. What'd you have for lunch? That's how well we communicate. So I think we're just getting rolling here, and it looks like the future's bright.
Conor, let me finish up with you, and it's the same question, but with just sort of one little attachment to it. When you think about like the evolution, your prospects with Jim, do you think of it like separately as Grilling JR as its own individual identity, or are you always sort of thinking about all the different podcasts and where you want to evolve?
Yeah, I'm thinking about it in both ways. You know, I do want to be considerate when I'm mapping out the schedule for the year, you know, because we sort of touched on the fact that I do touch on anniversary shows. That's a big primary function of our scheduling. I don't want Bruce and Jim Ross to cover the exact same topic the same week. So, for instance, we're almost upon WrestleMania season. So when Jim is talking about WrestleMania X7, which most believe to be the biggest WrestleMania of all time, we're going to have Bruce talk about WrestleMania 12. And I know the circumstance is WrestleMania 12 is the same weekend that Bruce got married. So that holds a different special place to Bruce than other WrestleManias. But X7 is Austin and Rock in Texas at the Astrodome. JR's on the call, biggest WrestleMania ever. That's going to be right in JR's wheelhouse. So there is something to consider with both shows, because I'm thinking about the listener experience. What are they going to listen to in that particular week? So in that particular week, for example, we're going to talk about Mr. Perfect with Eric Bischoff. And then the next day we're going to talk about the last Monday Nitro with Arn Anderson. And then the next day we're going to talk about, World Championship Wrestling, which was the Jim Crockett show. That aired in March of 86 on the exact 35th anniversary. And then we'll cover WrestleMania 17 with JR and WrestleMania 12 with Bruce. And that same day or the next day, we're going to cover WrestleMania 22 with Kurt Angle. So there's an overdose of WrestleMania as we head into the weekend, which is going to have a WrestleMania happen. So I am trying to view it as what's best for JR show, but also what's best for the network. So the listener experience is good all week.
Conrad's the program director, Richard.
Yes.
He's the booker. He's calling the plays, and it takes a load off me to not have to come up with topics. And so I'm as surprised as anybody else at times about what or who we're talking about. But again, it all seems to make sense once you delve into it, because it's been created by somebody that is a born marketer, is a great entrepreneur, but most importantly, he's still a fan. And the things we talk about are things that also engage Conrad. He wants to talk about these things, or he wouldn't have put it on the board. Here, we're going to do this. Okay, cool. He's the booker, and he books me in these scenarios as he believes we will best produce. And so we've got a great formula. I think it starts with communication and respect. Conrad says, I can't record Thursday morning. I can record. We do things where I'll say, well, how about Sunday morning? Or Conrad will say, how about Sunday morning? Well, Conrad knows that's not going to bother me. And I know it's not going to bother him. If he's available, we're going to record. So it's just a real good synergy. You feel good about recording. I look forward to it every time we do it. We always get some laughs. We always have some fun. Because look, we're not talking about, world peace. This is pro wrestling here. And it's a unique entity, to say the very least. But we're having a damn good time bringing it to everybody. And just can't thank everybody enough for listening, and investing their time in what we're doing.
Yeah, well, it's as you know, I'm a huge fan of the show. It's been great from the jump. Jim, I got to be honest, when you start rambling, going off on politics, I love that it makes Conrad uncomfortable, because he wants your show to be agnostic and to relate to both aisles. So I love the fact when you start going down there, you could hear Conrad take a breath and try. You could hear the mind work, and he's like, I got to get Jim on this.
Yeah, so, yeah, he's good.
He's good at that.
Yeah. He moves me off my spot at times.
Yeah, sometimes you got to move the guy. Yeah, if you're going for a high spot, Conrad's got to take you off that, I guess.
Yes.
Conrad Thompson is the host of six fantastic podcasts, Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard, 83 Weeks with Eric Bischoff, What Happened When with Tony Schiavone, The Kurt Angle Show, The Arn Show, and the reason we are here today, Grilling JR with Jim Ross. Jim Ross, of course, one of the iconic voices in the history of pro wrestling, calls AEW on TNT for Tony Khan and that promotion, which is so much fun to watch. He's also a best-selling author, and head to jrsbbq.com. If you like this stuff, just Google ad-free shows, and you can go very deep into Grilling JR and get, as Conrad and Jim both mentioned, all this extra stuff if you want to be a super fan of the show. Conrad and Jim, thanks. I can't thank you guys enough. You know I'm a legit fan of what you guys are doing, and I wish you nothing but continued success. Thanks so much for joining me today on the Sports Media Podcast.
It's been our pleasure, Richard. Thanks for having us on, and we respect everything you're doing as well. We're all growing and contributing to grow the podcast space. We are, and that's so... And I'm all for growing podcasting. And I think that the COVID, as it was, and it still is to a large degree, obviously, but where people are quarantined, and, I have a home in Oklahoma. I've had it for, forever, but I didn't go home. I was gone from Oklahoma from October till February. And then I got there, and it was going to be the worst weather week in the history of the state. And I left early. I made my way out. We just have so much fun doing this, and we are so happy that you're doing well. And, you always have great guests, great topics, are always prepared. And that's kind of what we do. We're going to mimic what you're doing as far as let's be prepared. Let's be entertaining. Let's add some infotainment if we can, and always be honest and straight up.
I appreciate that. Look at Jim putting me over, Conrad. That was very nice of him.
I love it, man. We think the world of you. Can't thank you enough for having us on, and look forward to coming back sometime soon.
You got it. Thanks, guys. All right, back in the studio. My thanks to Conrad Thompson and Jim Ross. I really enjoyed that. That was huge fun for me, given how much of a fan I am of their podcast. Check out, obviously, their podcast, their all the stuff that they're doing. Certainly, Conrad is doing on his podcast network. Check out everything Jim is doing with AEW, as well as Grilling JR, of course. If you like these kind of conversations, this wrestling one is a little bit different, of course. Head to the archives. Previous podcast before this, John Orand and I discussed the immediate future of the NFL on television. Before that, a long conversation with Steve Levy of ESPN about Monday Night Football. Prior to that, we did some ratings talk. Prior to that, Chelsea Janes of the Washington Post and Sportsnet's Donovan Bennett. And some more conversations with Orand. And we also had a roundtable with Rhiannon Walker and Britt Giroli of The Athletic and Jay McManus of Marist College about sexual harassment that female sports reporters have to face. So there should be some interesting things if you're into sports media for you. If you head to the archives, please give us a 5-star review and a nice note. That stuff always helps with my podcast company. Speaking of my podcast company, thank you to everybody at Cadence 13, from Patrick Antonetti to Sean Cherry, to Chris Corcoran, to Spencer Brown, and John McDermott. And of course, thank you to the audience for listening. We will see you again soon on the Sports Media Podcast.